There are three distinct portions or three distinct sections. And I believe those sections are God's defense for his people, God's provision, promised provision for his people, and then God is Lord of his people. And then, like I said earlier, you get this command that stands out like a sore thumb, be still and know that I am God. And I think for us as believers, those three points that I've just mentioned, I believe that they hinge on what we as believers do with the verse, be still and know that I am God. For us to truly experience the comforts that God offers us through that verse or through the psalm, I believe we have to have a clear understanding of what that means. So we'll touch on each section and then we'll get into the be still and know that I am God. So firstly, it says God's defense for his people. That's verses 1-3. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The author starts with this bold statement about who God is. You know, this is not some weak understanding of something. This is true knowledge based on what I believe is experience, which he's gained from being in relationship with God. God is his refuge and strength. God and God alone, not God plus one. You see, I believe that that's the case for many of us, myself included. I believe my refuge and strength is not always in God alone. Because being a fallen people, we have it ingrained in us to want to do things on our own. Being deceived into thinking that what God offers us is not enough. And I think we can so easily find ourselves trusting in our own little securities. Maybe our finances, maybe our relationships, maybe our own human wisdom, just to see us through life's problems. And if I had to ask the question, what was the first thing you did during the turmoil that we all went through over the past 2 or 3 years? Where was your trust, or where did you put your comfort? I believe we would all agree that that's what it was called, turmoil, chaos, you know, during COVID, during the looting, during the flooding. I think we could probably echo the psalmist's statements there that it felt like the earth was giving way at times and that the mountains were falling into the heart of the sea. To some extent, our world was turned on its head. I think what the psalmist is telling us in verses 2 and 3, this idea is this metaphor of the worst possible outcome. Mountains that are known to be this pillar of strength, this immovable thing, fall. The pillar of stability disappears. But no, not for the psalmist. For the psalmist, God is his refuge and strength. I love the comparison here. You take the biggest and strongest thing that man knows that is being compared to God. Mountains fall and the earth, when the earth is in chaos. In other words, everything that we can possibly rely on in our own strength here on this earth, from a human perspective, will fall when the world is turned upside down, but not God. God is his refuge and strength. God is not moved when our world gets turned upside down. Nothing takes God by surprise. He knew about COVID. He knew about the looting. He knew about the flooding. He knew about our illness. He knows about our retrenchment. He knows about our financial troubles. He knows about our political situation. He knows about a lost son or daughter. The psalmist then takes it one step further and he tells us God is where his help comes from. And he is ever present. He is not distant and far away. He is omnipresent. He's an omnipresent God. He is right there in the midst of the calamity with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And so because of who God is, therefore, we will not fear. This is not a lack of fear, you know, due to a false sense of security or maybe ignorance. I believe this is freedom from fear that comes from genuine faith in God. Isn't that what the Hebrews were commended for? They were able to do what God had called them to do. They were able to go where God told them to go because they knew He was their refuge and strength. Now maybe we ask the question, if God is with us, if God is helping us, if God does know, what has He done? You see, the thing is, God has already done something about it. From the very first mistake that we made right in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when we decided to do things on our own, He sets a plan in motion right from then. Being the omniscient God with His foreknowledge, He knew that the pain of this life that we would go through would be unbearable for us. And so in His great, great love, He took grace and mercy and He hung it on a tree for us to all to see. He loved us that much that the struggles we would go through in this life, they mattered that much to Him. That He made a way to deal with our pain, our heartache and all, once and for all, by dealing with the root. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever so believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. From there, we see His promises. We see the point. The next section is God's promised provision for His people. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice and the earth melts. I get the impression here that there's two ideas being spoken of. We know from Scripture that God is the city of God is Jerusalem. However, for a bit of a geography lesson, there's actually no rivers that run through Jerusalem. There's a couple of streams, but no rivers. In 2019, during the beginning of COVID, hard lockdown, artist Master KG, most of our younger guys will know his name, he released a song called Jerusalemma. It became a huge success. And I'm not too sure if it became a success because of what the words were or maybe because of the hip-hop dance that was associated to it. Which, for me, I believe is so sad. Because at the time where the world is facing the worst possible struggles that the world has probably ever gone through as a whole, the world is turned upside down. We get caught up on the frills and the fancy, and we miss the very words of God trying to encourage us and be our strength, trying to give us hope for the future, trying to show us that this is not the life. There's a better life to come. Jerusalem, Ikayalami, Jerusalem is my home. Ndawoyami Ageko, my home is not here. My place is not here. You see, I believe that the psalmist is echoing the same thing. That there's a promise from God that this is not our home. The new Jerusalem is what we're looking forward to. In the big book of Ezekiel, chapter 40, Ezekiel writes there, "And a man said to me, 'Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears. Set your heart upon all that I show you, for you were brought here in order that I might show to you, declare all you see to the house of Israel.'" Ezekiel receives this vision of the new Jerusalem. He tells us about it in chapter 47, about this river that runs through Jerusalem from the north to the south to the east. Verse 12 reads, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the river from the sanctuary flows through them." I believe the message here is a foreshadowing of what's to come. A reminder that what we can expect as children of God, of the Most High God, that running through the heart of the city is this river that gives life wherever it goes. Because God dwells there. The holy place where the Most High dwells, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. I believe this might be for more the immediate, the present, for life as we know it now. That if God is in us, we will not fall. You see the contrast between that of verse 2, where the mountains fall and the sea is churned up and it roars. Not God. God will not fall. If we are relying on the things of this life to carry us through life's problems, we will fall. But if God is with us, we will not fall. We will not be moved. And God will help her at break of day. As children of God, we can expect God's help. God will help you. Now, don't think that break of day refers so much to the beginning of the morning, the beginning of the day or the morning, but more for a reference in time of the perfect time. The perfect time, God intervenes. One of the commentators said, "God will intervene at exactly the time that will be of most value." Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Once again, you can see this comparison now. The second verse was the mountains that are moving, the natural, the elements on the outside that were moving. And here we're talking about the nations that are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. But with God, it all stops. It all ceases. The earth melts. We then get to the last section, that God is Lord of his people. "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The psalmist invites us in verse 8 to come and see what God does. Come and see what God does for his people, for his name's sake. Come and see. He brings destruction on those who oppose him. He doesn't just stop wars, he ends wars. One of the commentators said, "Since God's people have reason to be glad in distress because of God's presence, how much greater will be their joy when the causes of their distress are no more." There's this idea that if you're burning up all the weapons of the enemy, there's this finality about it. It's almost that you have finished them off completely. There's no way that they're going to be able to fight again. They have no means of retaliation. It is done. And this is the idea so much like when Christ hung on the cross for us. And he declared in John 19:30, "It is finished. The enemy has been defeated." Then this psalmist brings in this command. Because that's exactly what it is. It's a command. God is commanding us. These are the words of God. He's commanding us to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. God has commanded us to be still, to stop and surrender. I like how the Message Bible paraphrases this verse. It reads, "Step out of the traffic." We are being commanded by God to stop looking around us, to stop allowing the insignificant things of this world, the things that can cause so much harm, to distract us from knowing the one and true God. Be still. There's this war mindset going on. Put your weapons down. Stop fighting. Stop fighting your circumstances. Stop wrestling God. Be still and sit in his presence. My father-in-law reminded me that this is an active, passive thing. This is not let go and let God. This is, I will choose to be still despite my circumstances, despite the hardship around me. I will make a conscious effort to stop and seek God. In the eye of the storm, he doesn't necessarily take the storm away, but he joins us in the storm. Then he says, "Be still and know that I am God." That "know that I am God," I don't believe, is in the same context as you know your Facebook friends. I believe the context of that "know" is as Adam knew Eve. It speaks of an intimate relationship with the Father. If we truly know God, it will cause instant change in our lives. If we truly start to seek God, it will cause instant change in our lives. I think of Paul's Damascus Road experience. If we stop and truly seek to know God, we will be able to echo the psalmist's sentiments as the psalmist, that when the world gets turned on its head, God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. If we stop and truly seek to know God through genuine faith, we'll be able to say, as the psalmist does, when the mountain falls into the hearts of the sea, that we will not fear, because you are my refuge and strength. If we stop and truly seek to know God by faith, we'll be able to look towards the promises of God and not store up treasures for ourselves in this life, but store up treasures for ourselves in heaven, where thieves can't come in and steal and moths don't destroy. We'll be able to look towards our heavenly reward, the new Jerusalem, and find comfort that God's timing for our circumstances is perfect, and that he is with us. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. I don't think always that the best thing for us is for God to remove us from our circumstances. But I believe for God, the best thing for us is for us to know him in our circumstances. And you see, we look at 2023, the start of a new year, and we don't know what's going to come. We don't know what might or might not happen. But what we do know is that we can look to God who does know. The Lord Almighty, the God of Jacob, and truly seek to know God this year. I had a prayer that was given to me that I think is quite apt for the year. I wanted to get it on the screen, but I couldn't get it going. But I'd like to pray it over us as a commitment for us for this 2023. A commitment for us to God, that we are truly going to seek to want to know him, to choose to be still in his presence and to seek his face out. If you want to stand with me now as I pray it, let's pray. Our Father and God, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, we confess our need of your presence and your guidance as we face the future. We each have hopes and expectations for the year that is ahead of us, but you alone know that what it holds for us, and you can give us the strength and the wisdom we will need to meet its challenges. So, help us to humbly put our hands into your hands and to trust you and to seek your will for our lives during this coming year. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, assure us of the certainty of your unchanging love. In the midst of life's inevitable disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to you for the stability and comfort we will need. In the midst of life's temptations and the pull of our stubborn self-will, help us not to lose our way, but to have the courage to do what is right in your sight, regardless of the cost. And in the midst of our daily occupations and pursuits, open our eyes to the sorrows and the injustices of a hurting world and help us to respond with compassion and sacrifice to those who are friendless and in need. May our constant prayer be that of the ancient psalmist, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end." We pray for our nation and its leaders during this difficult time, and for all those who are seeking to bring peace and justice in our dangerous and troubled world. Bring our divided nation together and give us a greater vision of what you would have us to be. Your word reminds us that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As we look back over the past year, we thank you for your goodness to us beyond what we have deserved. May we never presume on your past goodness or forget all your mercies to us, but may they instead lead us in repentance and to a new commitment to make you the foundation and the center of our lives this year. And so, our Father, we thank you for the promise and the hope of a new year. We look forward to it with expectancy and faith. This I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, who by his death and resurrection has given us hope, both for this world and for the world to come. Amen.